just do.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the chambers of the Portland City Council. Today is Wednesday, October 24th. It's 9:30 a.m., and the City Council will come to order. Good morning, Carla.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I like your new hairstyle.
Thank you. Amazing.
Can you please call the roll?
Leonard. Fritz.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Adams?
Here. Quorum is present. We shall proceed, beginning with the communications. And let's see.
Do a proclamation.
Yep. First. Before we do communications, we have a special proclamation. Today we're celebrating National Food Day and recognizing the abundance of local activities as it relates to food security and healthy food. 4 months ago, the City Council passed a zoning code revision to support the expansion of growing and distributing food within the city, as well as setting measurable goals for our food security and healthy food program. We took steps to remove barriers and create opportunities. We've had much success in our food policy and program work, but we still have a long way to go to ensure an equitable food system for all our citizens. Our climate action plan, the Portland plan, and the comprehensive plan recognize those inequities and provide the foundation for further work. I'm confident with all the great partnership that exists in this city that we'll continue to move forward with determination and be able to give more residents the opportunity to share the bounty of our food system. So I am pleased to read the following proclamation, and then we'll hear from a few representatives, a few special guests. Whereas every Portlander has the right to an adequate supply of nutritious, affordable, and culturally appropriate food, and access to affordable, healthy food as a key component of the Portland plan. And whereas supporting local farmers creates a stable agricultural land base and contributes to our local economy, and whereas the Better Together Garden in the front yard of City Hall is symbolic of our commitment to raising awareness of these issues, and whereas curbing junk food in our schools, community centers, and public spaces is part of our strategy to combat the rising incident of childhood obesity, and whereas partnering with hunger relief agencies through our free lunch programs, senior meal programs, and after-school programs are ways in which the city works to improve food security and address hunger in our community, and whereas the City of Portland and Multnomah County's Climate Action Plan seeks to reduce consumption of carbon-intensive foods and increase the consumption of local foods, and whereas the city's revised zoning code supports and encourages local food production and distribution and the expansion of our network of community gardens and safe places to grow healthy food has been a key city initiative, and whereas our city is stronger because of the many Portlanders who work tirelessly to create a more equitable and sustainable food system, now therefore I, Sam Adams, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim Wednesday, October 24th, 2012, to be Food Day in Portland, and encourage all Portlanders to celebrate by taking part in the activities planned throughout the week. Congratulations. I'd like to thank everyone who has been part of the Better Together City Hall Garden, which is celebrating its fourth season as a showcase for growing food in very small spaces and providing education and food donations to Elm Court Loaves and Fishes. I'd like to recognize all the master gardeners. They are the ones who get their hands dirty and connect with the public, who always have interesting questions for gardeners. And specifically, Jen Aaron, who managed the garden for its first 3 years and was dedicated to its success, and now Jillian Glasgow, who took over for Jen this summer and is doing a wonderful job continuing the tradition. I'd like to recognize Daniel Baca, a metalwork artist who was the sign maker and also builds functional pieces for the beautiful sign for the garden's inauguration in 2009. And recognize our partners, the Oregon State University Extension Service, for providing the Master Gardeners and supporting the program. Thank you, Weston Miller. And also recognize West Multnomah Soil and Water Conservation District for the financial support of the Master Gardener Program, Executive Director Dick Springer, and Education Coordinator Erica Stokes. Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. And with that, we're going to hear from a few people. So, Carla, if you wouldn't mind reading the title for item number 1174, 1175, and 1176, and 1177.
Okay.
1178, but we can only have three at a time, so the first three.
Okay. 1174, request of Nancy Becker to address council regarding food day and food policy in Portland. 1175, request of Amy Gilroy to address council regarding food policy in Portland. And 1176, request of Jill Kuehler to address council regarding National Food Day and update on Zenger Farm.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you.
Please begin.
Thanks. Greetings, City Council members. My name is Nancy Becker. I'm a registered dietitian with Oregon Public Health Institute, and thank you for your interest in healthy eating. As you know, we have a crisis of obesity in our country. Two-thirds of the adults in our city are at risk for diseases of overconsumption, high blood pressure, heart disease, and diabetes. Much of the problem can be attributed to our sedentary lifestyle, and much of it is related to the food we eat. These diseases are not only driving up the cost of health care, but causing untold pain and suffering. Most of us know that eating too much sugar, fat, and salt can lead to obesity and disease, yet it can be very hard to choose a way of eating that is healthier. Since I'm a nutritionist, I wish I could have confidence that nutrition education is the answer. Instead, I believe that we must think creatively about the ways that our system leads to overconsumption. We don't have the capability to address the regional food system in the city, per se, but we can look at the food environment. Our city is well known for being a green city and for being a foodie city. It is not known for being a healthy city. I believe we can seize the intersection between greenness and foodiness and become a healthy city. And you've done a great job of putting food and health agenda for the city, but we can do more. Everywhere we go, there is food. And not only food, but large portion sizes of unhealthy food. There are several strategies that could help Portlanders make healthy choices. While we cannot change the whole food system here in Portland, we can focus on a few things that would make a difference in Portlanders' lives. Smaller portions, less sugary drinks, and more fruits and veggies. Changes like this can make a huge difference. We've already taken the junk food and sugary drinks out of schools and parks and recreation centers. Thank you very much. We have passed menu labeling in chain restaurants in Oregon, as well as workplace accommodation for breastfeeding. At the Blues Festival this year, you piloted a program to incentivize half portions and drinks with no sugar. By all reports, it was a great success. Some vendors even reported that non-sugary drinks sold like hotcakes. That was a joke. So while you've really moved the agenda, there is more work to be done. We could establish nutrition standards for all city buildings similar to what we have in schools and parks and recreation centers. We could set more incentives for festivals and, yes, even food carts to offer smaller portions, drinks that do not have added sugar, and more fruits and vegetables. I dream about mobile greengrocer stores for underserved neighborhoods. And lastly, I hope that the city can set guidelines for food served internally at meetings and events that taxpayers pay for. These are only some of the strategies that we can use to make headway and confront this thorny issue. Portland can be famous for being a healthy city as well as a green city and a foodie city. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hi.
A little bit over time.
Can you please read the title? Did you read all three?
Yeah.
Okay. Please continue.
Hi, I'm Amy Gilroy, and I also work for Oregon Public Health Institute. And I'm going to talk a little bit today about how we've been working with the city to promote healthy policy and some of the city policies that have been passed recently. Planning for access to healthy food is incredibly important to our city. Healthy food is something that we all care about, but as you know, not all Portlanders have access to it. It is either unavailable, selections are of poor quality in some communities, or it's too expensive. BPS estimates that only about a third of Portlanders live within a half mile of a market that sells healthy food. This explains in part why so many people do not meet recommendations for fruit and vegetable consumption and have higher risk for diet-related disease. Planning our communities for access to healthy food goes a long way towards protecting the health of our families and future generations. Over the past few years, we have been working with the city to include health in policies set forth by city bureaus, and Nancy mentioned a few of those. Most recently, OPHI and BPS worked together to incorporate health and equity into the Urban Food Zoning Code, which was adopted this past summer, as you know. OPHI and bureau staff worked together to determine how planning can address gaps in access to healthy food among specific communities in Portland. We found that the zoning code wasn't precise enough to help achieve equitable access to healthy food in communities that lack community gardens, vacant lots, or grocery stores. While the Urban Food Code revision will protect farmers markets and expand opportunities to grow food for many Portlanders, there are many families who live in housing with little open space for gardening, and their neighborhood market offers only junk food. And these families are the most at risk of developing poor health outcomes and stand to benefit if policies are in place to support healthy eating. OPHI is also currently providing guidance and expertise for the comprehensive plan update. We support the 2035 Portland Plan objective to see 90% of Portlanders serviced by healthy food within a half mile of their home. And we feel that full-service grocery stores are not the only solution to reaching this objective. There are strategies that can help to bring healthy food to economically depressed neighborhoods. For instance, the city can work with existing retail businesses to offer healthy business packages designed to improve access and profitability by providing financial incentives, permit fee reductions, and technical assistance. The city could promote healthy retail and limit access to fast food and other unhealthy food options, as Nancy just mentioned. It's debatable which is more effective, limiting access to unhealthy foods or increasing access to healthy foods. Reasonable people can differ on the emphasis, but we do know that a combination of both is important and vital to the health of our community. It's up to all of us to do our part to protect and improve access to healthy food for all Portlanders. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hi.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. I'm Jill Keeler, the Director of Zenger Farm. 12 years ago, thank you to Commissioner Saltzman, who had the great foresight of seeing what an urban educational farm could be, we were granted a long-term lease on the property in outer southeast Portland. And I think no one who was a part of that process 12 years ago had any idea that 12 years later, over 5,000 youth would be coming to the farm every year for field trips and summer camps. 1,000 families each year would be participating in workshops on gardening and healthy eating on a budget. Or that a farmers market would start up in a low-income neighborhood, the Lentz International Farmers Market, that primarily serves immigrant farmers and low-income shoppers at the market. Last year, we extended that lease onto the Fury property, which is providing 2 more acres of growing space that's going directly to low-income members of our CSA. That is one of the first in the state to accept SNAP for payment for CSA shares. It also allowed us to build a community garden, the Fury Community Garden, that has over 30 plots. Zenger Farm worked closely with Portland Community Gardens to translate all the outreach materials and the rules of community gardens into Russian. And now of those plots, 10 are filled with Russian-speaking gardeners. Next year, looking forward, we are working to build the Urban Grange. It will not be a casino. It will be what a grange is supposed to be, which is a gathering place for community members and a place where agricultural economics can thrive. So we will be able to double the number of people who are served by Zenger Farm programming. It will also provide a launch pad for new food businesses. We look to your support to help us build the Urban Grange. Now changing hats quickly, I'm also on the board of the East Multnomah Soil and Water Conservation District, and we have been very proud to provide several grants to new gardens to help them get built. So we are very proud to partner with you all in that capacity.
Jill, before you wrap up, I know you have a special guest who's joined you today from the great state of Texas. Would you like to introduce your mother?
My mother had no idea she would be introduced at City
Hall. Let's give her a Portland welcome, please.
Thank you all for recognizing the National Food Day and for letting us update you on the amazing work that's happening all throughout the city.
Thank you all.
Thank you all very much. Thank you very much. All right, the next two.
Our 1177, request of Susan Navrotsky to address council regarding National Food Day. And 1178, request of Robert Bradley to address council regarding Meals on Wheels, People, Gardens, and Harvest to Home.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayor Adams and city councilors. I'm Susan Navrotsky, and I've been coordinating Food Day Oregon on a volunteer basis. Today we're celebrating the second annual Nationwide Food Day, a celebration and movement toward healthy, sustainable, and affordable food. The ultimate goal of Food Day is to strengthen and unify the food movement in order to improve our nation's food policies. It's a chance to celebrate what our food system does right and take action to bring us closer to a food system that promotes real food. The Food Day priorities are to promote safer, healthier diets, support sustainable and organic farms, reduce hunger, reform factory farms to protect the environment, and support fair working conditions for food and farm workers. This year, there are about 3,000 events posted on the National Food Day website. Oregon is well represented at the national level with both Representative Blumenauer and Senator Wyden serving on the National Food Day Advisory Board. We can be proud in Portland that Northwest Earth Institute, a Portland-based organization, developed two excellent discussion guides that are posted at the National Food Day website this year. The discussion guides, Menu for the Future and Hungry for Change, are being used in classrooms, work settings, and community events to celebrate Food Day. This year, Oregon is hosting 100 events that will highlight sustainability, locally grown and produced foods, food justice, and hunger issues. Many of these events are scheduled in the Portland region. On Saturday, Portland Farmers Market invited local food justice nonprofits to share their message about nutrition, health, animal welfare, and sustainability. On Monday, PSU hosted a food inequity symposium that was open to the public. Today, Portland Public School students will be offered a special lunch menu that includes chicken, green beans, and fresh fruit all grown in Oregon. Madison High recruited volunteers for a garden work party and a food day dinner that will be prepared in the school's cafeteria kitchen by students in their cooking class. Sisters of the Road is kicking off a food-based film series that will continue monthly through March. In my Cully Northeast neighborhood, Delfina's Bakery Cafe is hosting a soup social and food drive, inviting neighbors to enjoy free soup made with farmers markets ingredients and to contribute healthy food items for the Oregon Food Bank. And tonight, Oregon Culinary Institute is hosting a benefit dinner to help open the Portland Kitchen, which will be a culinary after-school program that will provide business skills and nutritional education for high school youth. All this besides the city's 1,000 garden celebration scheduled for later today. I thank you for the leadership and support you've provided to strengthen Portland's food system. I invite you to continue to collaborate with events like Food Day to build the momentum needed to change our food system. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hi.
Hi, my name is Robert Bradley. I am the manager of Cherry Blossom Meals on Wheels. As many of you know, what was for 40 years Loaves and Fishes, the Meals on Wheels people, is now Meals on Wheels people, Loaves and Fishes. So having said all that, I want to thank you all very much. When I started with Meals on Wheels 4 years ago, first thing I wanted to do was put up a community garden for the people in downtown Portland. I was looking, and I got a telephone call, and I was asked, gee, would you be interested in City Hall? which seemed like an ideal location. I really want to thank you guys very much. It made a real difference to the people both at Elm Court and to all of us at Meals on Wheels. I remember fondly a guy picked up a zucchini. There was one zucchini plant that he kind of liked. And he brought that one zucchini up to Elm Court and raised it above his head and said, "I grow the vegetables for this place." I was very, very pleased. You know, I got a telephone call when I was at Elm Court out of the blue. A man called me up and he said, "I have a restaurant in the Pearl District. I've had it for 10 years. And business is down 40%. The only way I can endure this is by concentrating on the suffering of others. And to do that, I will provide a meal for 30 one day a week for you folks." He's been doing it for 4 years. That's the kind of community we have. It's a wonderful
story.
Which
business is that?
Pardon?
Which business? Which restaurant?
It's called Ceres. It's on the corner of 11th and Lovejoy. Food's great. Go there often. Having said that, I want to mention as well that thanks to the Portland Parks Department and Commissioner Fish, we were able to put a garden in at Cherry Blossom. When I moved out there, started the same process looking for a place. We now have 5 elevated beds. They're all 27 inches high, so seniors can work in the garden without bending over a long-handled hoe. We planted in January, or rather in July, and we've already pulled over 600 portions of food out of those beds. It is a remarkable achievement of a combination of people coming together, and it's working very, very well for us. One last thing, we now have a harvest to home, and that is one day a month we are sending fresh fruits and vegetables to all the Meals on Wheels recipients. Started this program at Cherry Blossom as a pilot. I expect to move to 2 more locations in the next 60 days, and we're looking forward to this growing as well. Really appreciate your help and interest on what is truly a wonderful day. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you all. We really appreciate all the work that you've done. And you are welcome to stay and see democracy happen, or we will not consider it rude if you want to get up and go on with your day. So we will continue. Does anyone have any items to pull from the consent agenda? All right, hearing none, Carla, would you please call the vote on the consent agenda?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. Carla, would you please? Well, we're a little ahead of schedule. So
we have a time certain at
10.
9:30.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you please read the title for presentation item number 1179?
1,000 Gardens.
Commissioner Nick Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to invite Emily York and Laura Neamey forward, and we're going to do a brief PowerPoint. Then we have some invited guests, and I'll make a very brief introduction. Mayor and colleagues, about 3.5 years ago, when the Climate Action Plan was being pulled together, Mayor Adams came to me and said, let's plug in an audacious goal for community gardens in this plan. And so at page 53 of the 2009 Climate Action Plan, there is a specific goal that was established that we were challenged to meet. I was relatively new at the job, and it turns out the mayor was taking advantage of me a little bit, because what I did not know at the time was that it had taken the city 35 years to build 1,000 gardens. And the mayor had said, why don't we build another 1,000 in the next 3 years? So he was essentially saying, let's double our capacity in 1/10 of the time. Now, I guess there are advantages to being relatively new on the council, because I didn't know enough to say no. Today we're going to make a report to council, and I'm very proud to tell you that we have not only met that goal, but we've exceeded it. And today we're going to say thank you to the community partners who made this possible, and celebrate what I think is a wonderful win for our community. And so it's my pleasure to begin by introducing Emily York from my office, who's going to walk us through a PowerPoint.
Thanks, Nick. Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. I'm Emily York, Policy Coordinator in Nick Fish's office, and I've had the privilege of leading the Thousand Gardens Initiative for the past 3 years. For Portland, community gardens are nothing new. We built our first community garden in 1975. A Parks and Rec employee by the name of Leslie Pohl-Cosbaugh managed that first garden, and I was just looking out to see if she's here. I don't see her, but she will be joining us for our celebration later today. Leslie steadily built the community gardens program for the next 35 years, and in that time, she built 35 gardens, averaging one a year. With this strong foundation that Leslie provided, we knew that we had a good chance of reaching our goal of 1,000 gardens. So why 1,000 gardens? Well, Nick mentioned it already with the 2009 Portland Multnomah Climate Action Plan. There was a specific goal in our Food and Farms chapter that committed us to developing or facilitating the development of 1,000 new community garden plots by 2012. And building gardens not only helps us address climate change, but also helps us make progress on our community health goals, food security, and our other sustainability goals. As the commissioner in charge of parks and the community gardens program, Commissioner Fish saw the opportunity to launch a community-wide effort that he called the Thousand Gardens Initiative. And from the very beginning, we knew that we weren't going to be able to do this alone. So we started by using the Oregon Solutions model to build our team of partners. Governor Kulongoski designated the initiative as an Oregon Solutions project, helping us to bring together dozens of partners from public, private, and nonprofit organizations. Many of our city bureaus participated, along with several other public agencies from the Portland region. You can see some of the logos here. Of course, nonprofit partners, and even more nonprofit partners. In fact, over the course of the initiative, new nonprofits were developing and started sprouting, gardens started sprouting up everywhere. We could hardly keep track of all of the activity that was part of this movement. We also worked with many businesses and corporate partners, only some of them listed here. In addition to building gardens on the ground, we also continued to build the program. We conducted focus groups. We developed a new toolkit with a step-by-step instructions and list of resources for neighbors interested in starting a garden in their neighborhood. We developed a new Thousand Gardens blog where we highlighted our progress and the work of partners. And we had a very committed volunteer in our office, Abby Warren, who's here today. Abby, can you wave just so we can acknowledge you? She's been working on this initiative with us for the past 2 years, and she was the one behind the gardens blog as well as a lot of other pieces of the project. So I just wanted to make sure to thank you, Abby, for all of your time and energy you've put into this. We also had a lot of parks employees who stepped up and went above and beyond to support us in reaching our goal. It included our parks planners, folks in our customer service center, our maintenance crews. They all came together to help us reach this goal. We also had representatives from several other bureaus, including the Water Bureau, BES, and BDS. And we worked closely with our volunteer friends group, the Friends of Portland Community Gardens. Throughout the process, we kept our focus on underserved communities. We did this by targeting areas where our waiting lists were the longest. We identified locations for new gardens in neighborhoods that we knew lacked access. We developed new outreach strategies. Some of those include putting flyers in emergency food boxes in coordination with Oregon Food Bank. And we piloted some new partnership models. Some of those include working with the new Build Coley Park Now coalition that's connected with Verde, and also working with the Grant High School Environmental Club, which Laura will share a little bit more about in a second. So this was the landscape of the city's community garden program at the beginning of our initiative. This is 2009, and you can see it's already pretty impressive, especially when you compare it to other cities of our size. And you'll see as we move to 2010 that our carrot thermometer to the side there rises up to 200 plots created in just that 1 year alone. Last year, we added close to 300 more, bringing us halfway to our goal. And this year, we are proud to announce that we have met our goal of 1,000 new plots within the city's program. And that means we have 1,000 new gardeners growing food on public spaces. This is a tremendous accomplishment and couldn't have been possible without a committed staff, partners, and especially our hardworking Community Gardens Program Coordinator, Laura Nimi. Thank you so much, Laura, for just hitting the ground running. And she's going to now share a few more stories about how all of these gardens came into being.
Thank you. So as Emily said, my name is Laura Nimi. I'm the program coordinator for the Community Gardens Program in Portland Parks and Rec. And I want to talk a little bit about the projects themselves. Over the course of the Community Gardens Initiative, we built 17 new gardens throughout the city of Portland. And each time we approach building a garden, we really look at using a community development model. And so that means that each garden has a community champion who really stewards the process and partners with Parks and Recreation to build the garden. And each garden is unique, but I've chosen a couple of stories to tell you to kind of illustrate that process. The first garden is our Grant Community Garden. This is located on the grounds of Grant High School. And the students at Grant High were interested in working on a project that would increase the sustainability at their school. So they looked at a couple of different options and decided to build a community garden and a school garden. They worked directly with Portland Public Schools to get permission to use the land to develop a garden, and also worked with Portland Public Schools project manager throughout the process. They did all aspects of project management, including getting a pro bono design, developing a project budget, procuring donations, and they wrote a successful grant for $50,000 from State Farm, which is pretty impressive. They also did all of the community outreach and organized a great grand opening event. Today, we have over 43 families who are gardening in plots in this garden, several of whom are parents of students at Grant High School. And this garden is in a very high demand area for Portland Parks and Rec. We don't have any other community gardens within a 2-mile radius, so we're really excited to have this new project. One of the other gardens we opened this past year was the Fraser Community Garden. And back in 2009, bolstered by the Community Gardens Initiative, the Rose City Park Neighborhood Association began conducting outreach and exploring the option to build a community garden in their neighborhood, the first of its kind. They identified a couple of potential locations, but ultimately settled on Fraser Park. And in order to preserve the green space in Fraser Park, they identified an underutilized asphalt area and brought in project partners DePave to help remove the asphalt. So you can see up above the before picture, that's what it used to look like. And on the right, that's today. Now, this project was not without some pitfalls. An initial soil test showed very high lead levels in the soil underneath the asphalt pad. And so we brought in BES Brownfields program to help do a phase one and two analysis to see if there was a way that we could build a garden here safely. And what they found through that process is that the lead levels were a little bit lower than our original results. And they also suggested ways that we could mitigate the existing lead by removing native soil and bringing in some clean fill. Another major partner in this project was our nonprofit Friends of Portland Community Gardens. They helped conduct outreach, they wrote 3 successful grants to fund this project, and they also provided garden design services. And so today, the garden serves 50 families, including a plot designated for the adjacent Head Start program. The third garden is our Ed Benedict Community Garden, and the Ed Benedict Park is located in East Portland at about 104th and Powell, and the master plan for the Ed Benedict Park included a community garden, but for many years we weren't able to complete that piece because we lacked resources and funding. So in 2011, the Friends of the Memory Garden led the charge to fundraise, design, and install this garden entirely with volunteers and contractors. This garden serves a very diverse and low-income population. The garden has over 40 plots, and nearly half of those people gardening in the plots receive scholarship assistance. In addition, any day in the garden, you might hear the following languages being spoken by the gardeners. We have Russian, Romanian, Spanish, Mien, Tongan, and English languages spoken there. So it's a very diverse garden. and beautiful too, as you can see. So I mentioned resources, and resources were such a big part in being able to complete this initiative and achieve our goals. And we have a pie chart up here that shows the various funding sources, but one-third of those city funds came from city council appropriation. You all allowed us to have $225,000, and that was one-third of the funding that it took to build all of these gardens. Another third came from two major local grantors, East Multnomah Soil and Water Conservation District and the Portland Development Commission. They contributed another third between the two of them. And then the last third comes from many, many different sources. One major source was the Water Bureau, who through our Oregon Solutions process committed two free water meter installations to build community gardens each year, which is a really significant contribution, and we really appreciate it. In addition, the Friends of Portland Community Gardens wrote many, many grants to help fund the process, and they also did fundraising and contributed cash to the process. We also received funding from the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, DPAVE, West Multnomah Soil and Water Conservation District, and many, many other organizations. So as you have heard today, when we started, we knew we had a really big challenge on our hands. And even at a certain point last year, we wondered if we were going to be able to achieve this goal. And we knew we couldn't do it alone. And so we were so excited to know that our project partners were also building gardens while we were building gardens. And we really looked at the 1,000-plot goal as a collaborative goal. And so in the end, we actually did end up adding 1,000 new plots within the City of Portland's program, which we're immensely proud of. It was a major accomplishment, and it took a lot of work. But during that same time, our project partners and other groups were building gardens and adding plots too, as I said. So together, we have added nearly 2,000 plots in the past 3 years that Portlanders are growing food in today. So we have invited a few more of those project partners to talk a little bit about their projects. And that's what's coming up next.
Thank you both very much, and congratulations. Mayor, we have two invited panels that they've each been given a limited amount of time just to come up and give us a quick snapshot of their work. The first panel is Trudy Sargent from Portland Public Schools, Cassandra Griffin from DPAVE, and Scott Somohano from the Sumner Association of Neighbors. If the three of you could come forward, and we're running a little bit late today, so we welcome you. We're glad you could join us. And Trudy, why don't you kick it off?
Okay, good morning. I'm Trudy Sargent, member of the Board of Education of Portland Public Schools, and I'm here on behalf of my colleagues and Superintendent Carol Smith to congratulate the city, and particularly Commissioner Fish's office, on achieving this goal of 1,000 new garden plots in our community gardens. As you know, we have an active partnership on many levels with the city, and particularly with Portland Parks and Rec, but a key part of that is a partnership around community gardens at our school sites. So we, in addition to the garden that was highlighted today at Grant High School, we have 9 other sites where we have community gardens. And so those provide opportunities for community members to garden. They use underutilized space on our school sites for a community purpose. Also provide opportunities for students and teachers and families to work together to learn about growing food. In addition to community gardens, there are dozens and dozens of other gardens in our schools. Some of them grow food. Some of them are focused on native plants or other themes. But there's a real commitment to gardens as a really important educational element of our program. But one of the key pieces of the community garden program is opening up our school sites to community members. And that's a part of our broader goal as a school district to welcome community members and have our schools be community centers in each of our neighborhoods. So congratulations on this achievement of your 1,000 new community garden plots.
Judy, thank you, and thank you for your strong support. We were very proud, particularly of the new gardens at Madison High School, Vestal Elementary, and Grant High School, and they could not have happened without strong support from the district, from the teachers and the parents, and most importantly, from the students. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hi, Mayor and members of the council. My name is Cassandra Griffin. I'm proud to say that I'm a founder and continuing board member of DPAVE, which is a creative, wonderful, Portland unique organization that has been a big part of this project and other city initiatives to remove asphalt, increase permeability of stormwater, and overall improve our landscape for humans, for wildlife, and for the watersheds. We have worked with the city since the very beginning. The Bureau of Environmental Services provided the initial funding for our initial project, which Commissioner Fritz was at in 2008. I think all the rest of you have been at other projects.
Some of us are still recovering from that experience.
Yeah, it's fun, it's hard work, it's community building, it's great. We so far have depaved over 20 major sites. Nearly 100,000 square feet of asphalt has been removed. I think that that means that over 2 million gallons a year of stormwater are no longer hitting the sewer system. And for the Thousand Gardens projects, we specifically worked with Vestal Elementary, Vermont Hills, and Fraser Park. And we're excited to continue to work with the city in all different capacities, all different bureaus, to keep making the city greener and better for everyone.
Scott?
Good morning. Good morning. My name is Scott Somahano. I'm the chair of the Sumner Neighborhood Association in Northeast Portland. I'm here to talk a little bit about the Helen's View Community Garden. It's located at 87th and Sumner Street in Sumner Neighborhood. The property is about 11 acres. It's owned by the Park Rose School District, but it's leased and run by the Multnomah ESD. So there's sort of two school districts there that we had to negotiate with to get the garden in there. The school is kind of an interesting thing because they serve students from all over the county. It's not just a neighborhood school, but it used to be a neighborhood school. And so when it closed about 20 years ago, the neighborhood kind of lost its heart. It was the focal point of the neighborhood. This garden project is allowing us to get back in there and reclaim some of the heart and some of the identity of the neighborhood. The other thing to mention about it is Sumner Neighborhood is designated as a food desert, according to the Department of Agriculture, meaning that we're below average income and that we don't have very good access to supermarkets or a large grocery store. So not only is this a great way for us to reconnect with the new students that are in there that are not from the neighborhood, but also it's a good way to improve social health and nutritional benefits to the neighborhood. Our neighborhood wrote the concept plan for the garden. It's going to be about 10,000 square feet. It's in progress right now under construction. We have a work party on November 3rd, if any of you are interested. Basically, there's a lot of partners that we worked with to get it done, even though our neighborhood wrote the concept plan. Sandra in the back of the room with Central Northeast Neighbors, Chris Person, the principal at the high school, it could have been, game over if she said no. The Park Rose School District and the superintendent, Dr. Kara Fisher-Gray, Susan Navratsky, I'm going to destroy your name, Susan, who let us borrow a lot from her grant proposal, the Soil District, East Multnomah County Soil District, $17,000. Laura, who you just heard from, gave us a lot of technical expertise. We had a lot of partners, and we're very grateful to have this opportunity to have this neighborhood, to have this this garden in our neighborhood, because we're hidebound by very busy arterial streets. We don't have a lot that's walkable, and having something like this is going to be a really big benefit. So thank you all very much.
Thank you, Scott.
Could you send me information about the work party on November 3rd, please?
Okay, I will. Mayor, thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Our final
Appreciate it.
Panel is Deb Lippold from Growing Gardens, Jenny Holmes from Ecumenical Ministries, and Midge Purcell from the Urban League. Welcome.
Thank you.
Deb, you want to kick us off?
Thank you. My name is Deborah Lippolt, and I have the privilege of representing our gardeners of Growing Gardens. We're a nonprofit that's been in Portland for about 14, 15 years, and we support individual low-income families to grow food right at their doorstep. We support them for 3 years. We work with hundreds of volunteers, build the gardens, provide seeds, plants, tools, and mentoring, and help people grow food that they will then be able to enjoy those skills and eat healthier for a lifetime. We've been It's a real thrill to be here today with all these great super rock stars in the food system and particularly in growing food. We really appreciate all the partnerships. We've loved being part of the collaborative process of the Oregon Solutions and the Thousand Gardens Goal. One thing that we've tried to support in particular is doing educational opportunities through our workshop systems, and we also do after-school and summer garden camps for low-income elementary-age children. So we partner with some of those community garden sites and all the school garden sites as well. The last thing I just want to emphasize is that we're totally on board with the 1,000 Garden Plot goal. And Mayor, I don't know if you remember very early in your term, but you came out and helped us celebrate by digging our 400th garden. Well, next year we will be putting in our 1,000th garden. So we really appreciate all the support and the partnerships. Thank you.
Good work.
Hi, I'm Jenny Holmes with Ecumenical Ministries and its Interfaith Food and Farms Partnership. I want to congratulate Commissioner Fish and the Council for their work in making this 1,000 Garden Initiative a reality, and thank you for inviting the community in to be in dialogue with each other and to find new pathways for collaborations on making more gardens, and especially gardens that are accessible to those who either haven't known about community gardens and don't know about the opportunity, so therefore aren't asking for them, and those whose areas haven't had gardens, community gardens. In many faiths, gardens are important places where the spirit, the human, and the earth interact. It's where humankind might learn its role in creation, such as to till and keep the garden. And we are all here because we believe many important things happen in gardens for health, for community, for environmental stewardship, for education, for spiritual well-being, and many more attributes. And our hope in continuing to work with faith congregations and encouraging them to do community gardens, food bank gardens, teaching gardens, that the new gardens and plots that are developed will involve the community, especially those communities that are have been less involved historically and maybe have had less access to land for economic and social reasons. We hope that in the future more garden managers and owners will reflect the growing diversity of our city. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Welcome, Mitch.
Good morning, Mayor Adams.
Push the button.
Pardon?
Push the button. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, okay. Mayor Adams, Commissioner Fish, Commissioners, on behalf of the Urban League and the African Women's Coalition, which was our partners in the Urban Harvest Garden Project, I want to congratulate the city on this for reaching this impressive milestone and for making Portland a healthier and more sustainable city. I want to thank you in particular for the support that you've given to the Urban League's and African Women's Coalition Urban Harvest Garden. This was a plot on in Northeast Portland on Beach and Albina, which was an eyesore for the community for many, many years. And the community came together and turned that eyesore into a productive community garden in the middle of a food desert. And we wouldn't have been able to do that if it wasn't for the support of the community, young people in the community, elders in the community, who came down and lent their labor and their support, including Commissioner Fritz, which we appreciate. She wields a mean hoe and was very supportive of that project. With the help of this program, we were able to install a water meter to ensure a water supply that will help sustain this garden for years to come. So I want to thank you. It was a particularly productive garden. We were able to grow bags of vegetables, which we distributed to seniors in our senior program, elders in the neighborhood, people in the community who have very, very little access to affordable, healthy food. We believe this is exactly what the city of Portland should be doing. And again, we'd like to congratulate you for reaching this milestone, and we're glad that we could be a part of it. Thank you very much.
Commissioner Fish, I just have to mention on that last note that this particular garden should get a Heroes Award. When they start, the day they started, it was 24 degrees. And people showed up and they worked the entire morning. It was amazing.
And I forgot to mention the Oregon women, tradeswomen. They really also contributed to this transformation of this plot and built beautiful structures on it. So I would like to shout out to them as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you all. Appreciate it. Commissioner Fish.
So that concludes our presentation this morning, Mayor and colleagues. And if I could, I'd like to just close with some thank yous. The first thank you goes to Mayor Adams, who pushed us to set the bar very high, who encouraged us at every step of the way, and who, with my colleagues on the council, gave us the special appropriations we needed to accomplish this goal. My only hope is that the next mayor shares the same passion for this work and allows us to set the bar even higher. So to Mayor Adams and my colleagues, a heartfelt thank you. To all of our partners, many of whom are here this morning and who testified, from government, nonprofit, faith, and business, a heartfelt thank you for everything that you've done. Through the Oregon Solutions process, we brought a lot of new people together. And that coalition has done something remarkable in as evidenced today, and I'm confident we can continue to work to address our shared values. So thank you all for your passion and your time and your commitment. I really want to do a shout-out to my parks team. It started with Leslie Paul Kosbow, and so appropriately this afternoon at our celebration, we're going to give the first Leslie Paul Kosbow Award to someone in the community that has made a big difference this year. But I want to especially note Laura Nemi, who we stole from Seattle, Kathy Dang, Neil Dytham, and Carrie Vozelgang, our stellar team from Parks and Rec that work on community gardens. Thank you very much for all your great work. And Deb Lev, City Nature Manager, Jen Cairo, City Nature Supervisor of Community Gardens, and Tracy Manning from Portland Housing Bureau, who's a foodie and a food advocate. Thank you all for your great work. This afternoon, we're also going to thank Governor Kulongoski. And I think it's fair to say, had he not designated this an Oregon Solutions project, we would not have discovered all of the connections that have sustained us throughout this process. And so we look forward to that celebration. I also want to just give a special shout out to Emily York. This would not have happened without Emily's drive and passion, love of gardening, and hard work. And I'm proud of everyone I get the privilege of working with, but today I'm especially proud of Emily. And so I want to just single you out and thank you. Let's give Emily a round of applause. And of course, Abby Warren, our super intern, and everybody that made a difference. And I know I've left off some names, but we'll capture those names this afternoon at Merriweather's. And finally, on a day like this where we celebrate what we've already accomplished, let's look forward to what still is ahead of us. And let's recommit to continuing to build out our system. So I'll make a couple of commitments, because you're stuck with me for at least another two more years. Number one, in the next parks bond measure, let's put some money so that we can in the bond measure so we can continue to make sure that every neighborhood, every school, and every place of worship that wants a garden has one. And that should be our goal. Yeah. Let's continue to expand our farm-to-school program, and let's work tirelessly with Portland Public Schools this fall and spring to bring urban agriculture to the former Whitaker Middle School site. Let's expand our program to serve hungry children throughout our system. This past year, Parks served 100,000 healthy meals to hungry children through our summer free-for-all. Let's set a goal over the next 5 years of doubling that. And finally, as we talk about making Portland a food city, and as we talk about maybe bringing a James Beard Public Market to downtown, let's make sure that we bring something great to East Portland. Let's build the Urban Grange. Thank you all for your great work. It's an honor to have been a part of this effort, and I look forward to all the many opportunities we have to work together going forward. Thank you.
I just want to thank you, Commissioner Fish. When I laid out the friendly challenge of 1,000 gardens, I didn't expect you to actually reach it. So this is congratulations. The city is much better for it. Thank you for your leadership, and thank you all for your great partnership. We appreciate it very much. Emily, great work.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome to stay or move on with your day. Carly, can you please read non-emergency ordinance item number 1180.
Authorize the Office of Management and Finance to exchange real property with Legacy Emmanuel Hospital and Health Center.
Today we are hearing the details of a land transaction between the City of Portland and Legacy Emmanuel Hospital. Brian Inge, Director of the Bureau of Internal Business Services, will walk through the details. We also have several guests from Legacy who will explain the significance of the project. It has taken us many months to work through this project because the details were important to the city operations and also to the great hospital that is our partner in this deal. I'm pleased to report that we have got a very fair deal for the city and for Legacy, one that will allow the city to continue our fleet and transportation functions in the Kirby Yard, and will clear the way for Legacy to pursue a world-class expansion, further expansion, of their medical facility. Brian?
Thank you, Mayor. Again, thank you, Mayor, and good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Brian Inge. I am the Director of the Internal Business Services here for the City of Portland. The ordinance that you have in front of you today for your consideration would declare the property at the North Kirby Lot to be surplus and to sell it to Legacy for the development and expansion of the operating rooms there at the Emmanuel Hospital. I, along with Dr. Lori Morgan, who is the Chief Administrative Officer for Legacy, will describe the project for you. I'm going to give you the background and the business points, and Dr. Morgan will provide you why this project is important to Legacy and also why it's important to, in terms of community benefits. Over 2 years ago, as the mayor has indicated, Legacy approached the city in terms of developing larger state-of-the-art operating rooms there at the Emmanuel Hospital. Their idea there was to build this facility that is next to their operating rooms and to their day surgery facility. The new facility would be adjacent to these facilities, but right now I'm going to move on and show you I have not been moving this thing through. If you can take a look at the screen in front of you, you can see that the Kirby Lot is adjacent to both the day surgery and the operating facilities. The Legacy property are the properties in the yellow, and the Kirby Lot is identified in red, and it says the Kirby Lot. So the hospital approached the city about the city's interest in possibly selling the Kirby Lot to them in order to build the state-of-the-art facilities in terms of operating rooms. Due to the community benefits and to benefits to the city met with Legacy and start discussing opportunities in terms of relocating the Kirby Lot operations to another site. We looked at various different scenarios in terms of where we could move the operations, including developing a parking garage somewhere in the vicinity as you take a look at the facilities. We looked at closing Kirby Street, and the Kirby Street is the street in between the Kirby Garage and the Kirby Lot. And we also talked about taking the Kirby Garage itself